love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Dear, oh, I'm so glad to hear your voice. Well, I'm fine, darling, simply fine. David drove me up from the airport. Where are you? By bus? Oh, all right, darling. I'll see you when you get here. Coming.
Hi, Aunt Isabel.
Oh, Nancy, dear. Come on in. What a nice surprise.
The bell's still out of order.
I'll put that on the list. All the things this house needs.
Well, everybody's glad you're back in it.
Oh, you're sweet. How are you, Nancy? You were dear to come to the airport, but I still haven't caught up with you.
Well, it isn't very hard. I'm running madly in one place.
At your age, life should be a glorious adventure.
Yeah, I read that somewhere, too, but it isn't living.
Sit down. Tell me about it.
That's what I wanted to do. Until my date picks me up.
Well, I'm glad you have one.
Guess who?
Some nice young man.
Pete Hawkins.
Ah, he's very pleasant.
Oh, Aunt Isabel, if we start that way, we're never going to get anywhere. He's coming to take me to a lecture at the high school on the life cycle of mushrooms. That's living?
Well, some girls would think so.
Would you?
I was restless, Nancy. I had to see the world.
Yeah, but you live.
Well, tell me about that airline job you talked about.
Oh, you should hear Mom. If I don't finish college, I'm back in the Paleozoic mud. Dad says okay if I stick to the job, but, you know, how do I know what I'll be thinking 6 months from now?
You've got a problem.
Well, at least I can talk to you on this bill.
Sure.
My parents don't even think I'm old enough to have a problem. But I sure miss Kate. Where is she this weekend?
As a matter of fact, she just telephoned. She's at some place at a party up near a North Pole.
With Tony Cushing, I'll bet.
I don't think so. She called to say she's coming down early tomorrow on the bus.
The bus?
That's all she said. And she sounded rather far off. Husky.
Isabel, do you think she's going to marry Tony Cushing?
No.
He's a fabulous guy. Why shouldn't she marry him? Is he married or something?
I don't know much about that.
Well, because if he were, it would be super. You know, Kate could have an affair, travel all around the world like movie stars, be a liberated woman.
That's hardly Kate's style.
Shall I tell you something, Aunt Isabel?
Anything you like, my dear.
I almost had an affair.
Really?
Well, he was a fun guy, really crazy. He wanted me to live in a loft in the city with him.
It wasn't your style either, though, huh, Nancy?
Well, when I thought about it, we just really weren't involved. I mean, he wasn't.
Mm-hmm. I see.
I mean, he made it all sound sort of like going to the supermarket.
Okay.
No, I realized he's just awfully young. I guess I prefer older men.
Well, they all get older, dear.
But I can't wait for that. Anyhow, it's going to be better. How do you like my good luck feet?
Oh, they're very handsome. Hand-carved.
Kate gave them to me. They're like the ones Kate's husband gave her once, but they're not the same, so she let me have them.
I guess I can follow that.
I practically sleep in them. Kate doesn't need good luck feet. She's got it, hasn't she? I mean, somehow she just collects men. Like the man I met on the porch one day while you were away. Kate was up for a couple of days, and there he was, bowing and scraping like she might slip into a puddle.
Who was it?
I don't remember. I never saw him before. But he was very polite. He drove her back to the city.
Well, he must be someone new. I'm glad of that.
He was very thin, reddish hair, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Medium height, and, he had very long fingers.
But you can't remember his name.
Kate will tell you. I gotta go. That's Pete now.
Right.
Oh, look, thanks for letting me talk.
Anytime, dear.
Oh, I remember that guy's name. Kate called him Stephen. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Well, you've had quite an evening, Kate.
Oh, it's been a super party.
Yes, I can see you enjoyed yourself. Especially that little toast you made to marriage.
Tony, I've gotten through the evening my way. And I've learned something. You know, you can have a whale of a time if you don't stop to think. So I didn't.
Okay. But I have one question to ask you, if you have time.
Oh, I have time, Tony. Believe me, I have time.
How does a nice girl like you know a man like Stephen Wolf?
He happens to have been a good friend of my late husband, Tom's. Does that answer everything?
It answers nothing. I've never seen you in a mood like this.
You may never again. But one thing is for sure. I'll never go back to being little, scared Kate Wakefield after this experience. I'm a different girl.
That I'm falling in love with all over again.
Takes a new girl every few weeks, doesn't it? Darling.
That's a low blow. I would have kissed you.
Oh, no, Tony, remember? We're the best of friends now, you and Claire and I. So, if you'll excuse me, I'll go and live madly. I've met a divine Viking who loves to dance. Now, where's that champagne? I can't fly without my wings.
Having trouble, Tony? No. It's quite a coincidence. My knowing your latest girl, as your wife calls her.
My wife, as usual, is wrong.
I'm glad to hear it. I hold Mrs. Wakefield in the highest esteem. I must say she's turning into quite a woman. I knew her when she was having serious troubles, as you probably heard.
Steve, there's nothing about Kate I want to hear from you.
Well, there's nothing I would tell you, my dear fellow, except that our ties are very close. You're very kind, Kate, to give a lonely man a few minutes.
What did you want to talk to me about?
Well, you've been having quite a time.
I guess so, Steve.
I'm an infallible keeper of secrets. I must say I've enjoyed seeing you here tonight in this mood. And I think Tom would have enjoyed it, too. You're lovely. Spirited.
Is Tom what you wanted to talk about?
Well, that's hardly the way you greeted me earlier, Kate.
I was quite angry.
Oh, I guess that. I wasn't fooled by your warm welcome. You didn't like seeing me, did you?
I don't like being dragged back to the past. I'm tired of it.
Well, that's understandable. Unfortunately, you're not free of it.
What does that mean?
I waited some time to hear from you. You remember the document from Tom I've asked for?
I never found it.
But it exists. It's a claim you can no longer ignore.
A claim to what?
This isn't easy for me to say, Kate. You know how much I thought of your late husband. Tom's death was as tragic to me as it was to you.
Just tell me, Steve.
You remember that string of carved wooden beads I left with you?
Yes, he thought they were mine, but they weren't. They were copies.
Yes, but you recognized them.
Oh, yes.
I thought they would jog your memory.
About what?
About those years you and Tom spent in the islands.
What about them?
Well, you know, of course, what Tom was doing in the Caribbean.
He was sailing. It was the thing he loved best.
And you know why? Oh, come, my dear. You couldn't expect to keep it hidden forever. D
Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day. The longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical yet so effective.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Final Net Non-Aerosol Hair Mist, a sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
The Author Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author Studio is brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Ladies, gentlemen, greetings from your author, William Makepeace Thackeray. I had yesterday a presentiment that something of extraordinary nature soon would occur. Well, I was right. At dawn today, Captain Rawdon Crawley mounted and rode to London. But why was his Aunt Matilda not on the terrace to bid her adored nephew farewell? Oh, dear listeners, Miss Crawley lay on the chaise where we left her last night, writhing in excruciating pain, unable to rise. She could not reach the bell to ring for help. And so feeble were her cries, no one came to aid her. So, poor lady lay in agony until Giles just now arrives with her breakfast tray.
Miss Crawley! Oh, ma'am, what took you?
Oh, I'm dying.
Oh, ma'am, don't do that. Don't die. I'll fix the pit. I'll fix the reverend.
No, don't. What? Those carrion crows waiting for misfortune.
A bite of breakfast, Miss Crawley.
Oh, no. Doctor, fetch the doctor.
Well, I didn't leave you.
Go, fool. Bring Rebecca. Only one with any sense.
Miss Becky, wake up.
No.
Oh, please, Miss Becky.
Rawdon.
No, ma'am, thank him. It's Miss Crawley. She's dying dead.
What?
She is.
Dying?
Oh, she's all... Oh, come, Miss Becky.
Will you stop jiggering? You're all in pieces. Tell me exactly of Miss Crawley.
She's all red, all white, all...
Slowly, Giles, you make no sense.
Yes, ma'am, I'll try. We're all white, she is. And red as well. She can't walk, can't hardly talk, and she hurts terrible.
Oh, of course she does. And serve her right.
Miss Becky, she's dying, and you talk so.
My dear Giles, I've seen this deplorable illness often. From the time I was 8, I took care of my poor papa after he did what Miss Crawley has done. Ate too much, drank too much, and was disgustingly ill the next day.
You can't be sure, Miss Becky.
I am sure. I saw her last night. Champagne, brandy, Madeira, Curacao, to say nothing of quantities of lobster, mountains of meringue. Oh, I can't rehearse it. She's a glutton and a sot, and she's paying for it.
Well, it may be you're right, but you best go. She wants you. She said you're the onliest one with any sense.
Oh, I suppose I must. Hand me my dressing gown.
Yes, ma'am. And I'll go send for Dr. Smollett.
Oh, there's no need. He can do nothing for her more than I can.
He ordered me.
Well, as soon as I tell her what ails her... Wait. Yes. Send for him. And when he comes, call me from her room so I can speak to him before he sees her. And whatever you do, do not tell Miss Crawley she's suffering only from overindulgence.
But she thinks she's dying, Miss.
Well, she isn't dying and won't die, and it will not hurt her to think for a while she is.
It ain't kindly to let a body think... Miss Bickley, what are you up to?
Who left this morning, Giles?
Mr. Rawdon. But what's he to do with her sick?
Where did he go?
To London. What's that to do with Miss Crawley?
Miss Crawley's unfortunate illness, treatment by an ignorant country doctor, and my tender nursing of the invalid may take us all to London.
Oh, Miss Becky! Oh.
Well, I think I can bring it on. Now, send for Dr. Smollett. Fetch me when he comes. I go to that poor, suffering, dying lady.
Faithful listeners, did I not promise an extraordinary occurrence, and has it not come to pass? Well, if you've not too much distaste for the sick room, we shall shortly observe what transpires there.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Becky has conveyed Miss Crawley forthwith into the bed. Becky has soothed, plucked, administered, commiserated, and with experienced gentle hands laid damp cloths upon the aching brow. Becky now sits beside the sick bed, holding the invalid's fevered hand.
There. Am I dying, Becky?
Oh, I will not let you die, dear Miss Crawley. I shall stay by your side until you are restored. Day and night I will stay, sleep on the chaise in your dressing room, hear your every call, attend your every need.
Oh, what a dear, consoling child you are. Oh, when will the doctor come?
I'm certain he's on his way. I've told Giles I wish to speak with him alone. I do not trust these country bumpkins. You should have the best physicians, and I mean to speak sternly to the man. He must realize your importance and the gravity of your condition.
Oh, I do need the best. How can I get it here?
Oh, I'm sorry to say we must do with what we have. I fear he won't even have the sense to leech and cup you. And he must. As I told you, my father more than once suffered this curious ailment, and I know the proper treatment.
Oh, that's Pitt. I don't want him.
No, I'm sure that yes, it's Giles.
Oh, Miss Becky, the doctor. I'd him in the passageway.
Ah, stay with Miss Crawley. I'll be back the very soonest I can.
Are you all better, Miss Crawley?
Certainly not.
But Miss Becky has helped me. What an angel she is.
Oh, yes, ma'am, a very angel. Always she knows what to do. Dr. Smollett, how good to have you here. I always remember how gentle and splendid you were when I hurt my ankle.
Ah, kind of you to say so, Miss Shaw.
I do want to warn you, Miss Crawley will be a trying patient. She is suffering from too much rich food and alcoholic beverages. However, you dare not hint such a thing to a gentlewoman. You do understand the delicacy of the situation, dear Dr. Smollett.
Ah, yes, by all means, yes. Other such patients don't fancy the truth.
Exactly. How clever you are. You quite see you would insult her and make her more ill. I wouldn't for the world have such a charge laid at your door.
Very kind to warn me.
I will tell you in strictest confidence that Miss Crawley also suffers from other ailments she'll not admit to. But I happen to know her London physician always orders her leached and cupped when she has certain symptoms I observe now.
You're certain, Miss Sharp, 'twill weaken her considerably?
Oh, yes, quite certain. You must do the same if you're to continue to have Sir Pitt's regard. Otherwise, he might employ the services of Dr. Hickleby in Mudbury.
Can't have that, no.
Would it be bold of me to make another suggestion to one so wise?
Pray do.
Well, I'm sure you'd have thought of it yourself. I fear she'll not respond to treatment here, excellent as you are. For your own sake, as well as hers, you should advise her to return to London. Mention the dampness of the country is not good for her health.
Regain it sooner in the city, yes.
I mean to be the greatest help to you I can whilst she's here. I shall nurse her myself. I am an experienced nurse. As for London, oh, dear me, I suppose I could sacrifice myself and go with her. Yes, nothing is too good for so important a personage. I give you leave to suggest that she take me. But pray, let it be your suggestion, not mine. I'd not embarrass her should she have someone better to attend her in London.
I say, what a generous young lady. Miss Crawley, fortunate indeed.
Shall we go to the patient, Doctor?
Oh, Miss Rebecca Sharp. Ladies and gentlemen, can anyone compare? I shall miss you till Monday next. I am, then and now, your obedient servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
For years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, poor kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can. With Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
The Author Studio has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Wow! What's going on? What's the table all set up for? Good dishes, good silver, wine glasses?
Oh, come on now. You know perfectly well Miss Perkins is coming to dinner tonight.
Tonight?
Honey, we discussed this a month ago. We decided on the date. I called Miss Perkins. She accepted and was all excited.
I didn't know it was tonight. Oh, well, for Pete's sake, there's a hockey game I wanted to watch.
Miss Perkins is coming tonight, and you knew it.
Well, no. I forgot. I can't remember things a month ago.
Yeah. My goodness, what's the matter?
Oh, nothing, Aunt Maggie. Bob just forgot his secretary was coming to dinner.
Oh, I think that's so nice.
Yeah.
I like Miss Perkins. She's a lovely woman. You are so lucky to have a secretary who's such a nice person and so interesting.
Interesting?
Yes. I think she's very interesting. I was visiting you once before when she came to dinner, and she told us all about her trip to the Dells of Wisconsin, which was so interesting.
Yeah, well...
I don't know why you act like this. I really don't. We only have her to dinner once a year, and you see her all day long at the office. So why are you so put out? Because we have to have her for dinner now.
Well, that's why. I do see her all day long at the office.
You have always said how marvelously efficient she is.
Well, she is. She is. Heaven knows she's efficient. If she just stopped talking about her ailments and her dog Cupid, spelled with a K, as she always tells me.
Well, I think that's rather sweet.
You want me to make the gravy, dear?
Oh, yes, would you, Aunt Maggie? Mm-hmm. Thanks. Now put the salad on the plate.
And Miss Perkins has gotten on some kind of a kick lately about cutting down on paper clips, carbon paper, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that should appeal to you since you're on an economy kick.
But Miss Perkins goes on and on and on
Honey, she is engaged. She'll be married. Her husband does not want her to work after she's married, so just stick it out nicely, huh? Now, when she's married, you can get another secretary.
Well, she's not getting married, apparently, until she finds me another secretary and breaks her in.
Well, isn't that good, Aunt Maggie? The flowers in that cupboard there.
Oh, yes, I keep forgetting. Whenever I visit you, I just get accustomed to where everything is, and then it's time to go home again.
Well, I'm glad this is a long visit. And we have to start talking about Thanksgiving, too.
And Christmas.
Yes.
Goodness, I have so much shopping to do.
How long do you think she'll stay?
Me?
No, Miss Perkins.
Oh, well, I don't know, dear. She drives out here and usually leaves around 10. Do you think we should have invited her fiancé this year? I never thought about that. Oh, dear, maybe I should have.
No. It's enough to have her.
I really don't know why you act this way when she is so fond of you, so worried about you. She keeps track of your vitamins. She makes sure you have your umbrella and all that.
Yeah, well, that's it. I'm fond of her, too, but... Oh, well, once a year, I guess I can stick it out.
Well, your secretary is really a lovely person.
Yes.
Yeah. And there she is.
Well, you let her in, dear, and I'll be right there.
I'll just finish making the gravy.
Fine, and I'll get the salad dressing mixed.
Well, good evening, Miss Perkins.
Oh, dear, I hope I'm not late, Mr. Baxter.
No, not at all. Right on time.
Well, I had to get Cupid's dinner and walk him, you know.
Sure.
Oh, it's so beautiful here in the country.
Yeah, let me take your coat.
Thank you.
Oh, Miss Perkins, how nice to see you.
Oh, and so nice to see you, Mrs. Baxter. And so nice of you to have me for dinner.
Oh, well, now we just look forward to it, don't we, dear?
I should say so.
And Aunt Maggie's here visiting us. She's making gravy. She'll be right in. You remember our Aunt Maggie?
Oh, I do. I do indeed. A lovely, lovely person.
Yes, she is. She'll be right in. Dear, perhaps Miss Perkins will... Oh, come on in the living room, Miss Perkins. Perhaps Miss Perkins would like something to drink?
Oh, yes. Tomato juice or ginger ale would be fine.
Yes, sure.
Would you excuse me, Miss Perkins, for just 2 minutes, and then I'll be right in. The tomato juice is right there, dear.
Oh, of course.
I know you've seen my husband all day at the office. I'm sure you'll find something to talk about.
Oh, yes, I'll be right back in a few minutes. As a matter of fact, Mr. Baxter, we do have something we should talk about. And, well, I really don't know how to say this, but I am really very upset.
What's the matter?
I don't know if I should tell you about it or not. I do hate to be telling tales out of school, so to speak.
Something at the office?
Yes, of course.
What is it?
Well, you know the copying machine.
Yes?
Oh, I don't suppose I should say this at all.
No, go on.
Well, some of the people at the office, and I will not name names, but some of the people at the office are bringing personal things to be copied on our copier machine. Their wives want things copied, or their children, letters, recipes.
Well, I guess this happens in every place there's a copying machine.
That does not make it right, Mr. Baxter. And considering how much that copying paper costs. Oh, I'm so glad we have some time to talk before dinner, outside the office, to talk about these little things.
Yes, well, Maybe we should just forget them for tonight, huh? take your mind off the office.
Oh, no, I don't mind at all. Now, you take the typewriter ribbons, for example, which I think could be used far longer.
For Pete's sake, what are you doing out here in the kitchen?
Honey, I'm having baked Alaska for dessert, and it takes 5 minutes at 500 degrees to brown the egg white. Out of the way, dear, out of the way, out of the
wow,
way.
Wow, don't they look good? How come the ice cream doesn't melt?
Well, the oven's so hot, and it's such a short time. There, take the coffee pot on your ass. Yes. No, darling, the silver one, not that old percolator. That one, it's all filled. Ask Aunt Maggie to pour the coffee, and I'm bringing in the baked Alaska right now.
This is the longest dinner I've ever sat through, with both Aunt Maggie and Miss Perkins talking a mile a minute.
Well, now they're getting along like a house afire. Now go on in. Go on, I'm coming. Go on, open the swinging door. What's the matter?
You're marvelous. You really are. Knocking yourself out like this, baked Alaska and everything. Doesn't Miss Perkins get on your nerves at all?
No, not really, but I'm not with her all day long either.
Well, there's no doubt nobody could be more efficient, but this fanatic attention to little details...
Look, you'll be getting married soon. Now stop fussing. And please, will you get in the dining room before my baked Alaska melts? Oh, I'm sorry to keep you waiting for dessert, but I hope this makes up for it.
Oh, my goodness, baked Alaska. My favorite dessert.
I know, Miss Perkins, and while Aunt Maggie's serving it. No, you serve it, Bob. Aunt Maggie, pour the coffee, please, will you?
Yes, dear, of course. My baked Alaska, so fancy.
And here, Miss Perkins, just a little something for you. Mm. Sort of an engagement present.
Oh, dear, for me?
Yes.
It's a surprise.
Well, it's
hurry up, open it. It's a surprise to me, too. I can't wait to see what you got.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's so sweet of you all.
Oh, isn't it fun opening presents?
Oh, yes, and when you don't expect one.
That was very nice of you, dear.
Oh, it's all right. Just thought, you know, we should have something for
you. Oh, a bowl. It's beautiful.
Oh, isn't that lovely?
Oh, I'm glad you like it. There's a tiny little present there, too, Miss Perkins. Right there. You can't go home tonight empty-handed, you know.
Empty-handed? But I have the blue bowl.
Isn't somebody going to be greeting you when you get in?
Mrs. Baxter for Cupid?
Yes, of course.
Cupid, your fiancé?
No, his name is Edgar. No, Cupid is my dog, my schnauzer. Cupid with a K.
With a K? Oh, yes. Yes, Cupid with a K. Cute. Oh, my heavens, a diamond collar.
No, Aunt Maggie, rhinestone.
Well, Mrs. Baxter. Mrs. Baxter, really, I just... Well, for me, being so sentimental, but it's so good of you.
Oh, listen, I have a dog myself, and he's furious when he doesn't get a present, and we're all opening them. The new dog collar is from Alex to Cupid.
When are you getting married, Miss Perkins?
Oh, not for 2 years.
Not for...
Dear!
Oh, no, Edgar's going to night school to be an optician. Oh, he's wanted to be an optician since he was a little boy. Oh, yes.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, I just meant I've known little boys that wanted to be, you know, firemen or doctors or who were determined to be actors or lawyers. I just never heard of a little boy who had his heart set on being an optician. Which is fine, you know, I mean, that's really...
Oh,
lovely.
Yes, that's all Edgar ever dreamt about. And it will take 2 years of night school. So, Mr. Baxter, that's my surprise for you tonight. You won't lose me for some time yet.
Oh, what good news! Isn't it, dear? Bob? Oh, look at him. He's just so thrilled he can't even talk. But he's really so happy, aren't you, dear? Isn't that something?
Yes, as some announcer used to say back in the old days... Well, there's good news tonight.
Oh, that was Gabriel Heater, wasn't it? My, whatever happened to him? In fact, what happened to all those people in radio?
Oh, they're coming back. Just the other day I heard a new show.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Dan Rolon Antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clear All commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clair All Cream Formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clair All Cream Formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clair All to know you're the best you can be.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
That's it, Betsy, finished.
Oh, I can't wait to wear it, Aunt Cora.
Well, you can't do it any sooner than right now.
I'll be the only one in my class with the denim dashiki.
Oh, is that what it is?
Oh, it looks great. Come in. Hi, Betsy. Oh, whoa, that is wild. Hello, Mrs. Finch.
Hello, Susie.
Aunt Cora just finished it.
Now, why don't you tidy up here and I'll make us some tea?
When's your father coming home? I think he said next week. He doesn't know for sure.
That was a terrible train accident. My father says they still haven't found out what happened.
Some kind of inflammable stuff in the tank cars, I think.
Oh. Hey, let's split. I think Chucky's down at the drive-in.
We can't, Betsy. Your Aunt Cora's fixing the tea.
Oh, yeah. Well, after then.
Oh, Mom said to ask you for dinner tonight.
Oh, that's great. I'd really like that.
And I found some cookies sitting around doing nothing. You're both in the same class, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
Do you like school?
I guess so, yeah.
Betsy, did you know your mother and I went to a one-room schoolhouse?
You mean all the classes in one room?
That's right. It was before they had what they call consolidated schools. When we got older, we took the bus.
You were bused to school?
Sure. Nobody thought anything about it then.
What was the one-room school like?
Pretty noisy most of the time. And we had a wood stove right in the room, and we all took turns keeping it going.
Wow. Just one teacher, too?
Yes, Miss Jenks. I remember she lived with us for a while.
Wow, that must have been weird.
Thinking back, I guess it was harder on her than it was on us. Every month, she lived with a different family. Mm. That was part of the way we paid her.
I guess you went to school with her then, and came home with her, too.
Only after we'd cleaned up the schoolroom, pounded the erasers, and filled the wood box. But there was one treat.
What was that?
We got to ring the school bell.
Oh, wow.
It had a big rope, and it would almost pull us off the ground.
Well, your blood pressure is fine, Emily. Here, let me take that cuff off.
You mean even knowing Jason is at Brixton hasn't sent it up?
Em, you aren't worrying about him, are you?
No. When he calls, he sounds great. I think he's enjoying being with the Anthonys again.
Oh, he's the doctor Jason knew in Korea?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes he makes it sound like it's a class reunion.
Mm. Oh, I wish I could have gone. But they didn't really need a diagnostician.
Marsh, the only way Jason felt he could go was because he knew you were here.
Well, I could have used the time away from home.
Cora was over the other day.
Yes, she told me. I think she was able to set Ginger straight.
Well, I'll admit it was baffling. Now, why would Ginger attach any significance at all to my not telling her that Angela had moved, that she was back in her own apartment?
I don't know, Em. It's a mystery to me. Sometimes I think Ginger just stirs things up to see what will happen.
Just doesn't make any sense.
Well, suspecting me and Angela doesn't make any sense either.
Marsh, is there anything she might be troubled about? Perhaps something that happened a long time ago and is just now coming up?
Well, I can't imagine what it would be.
Well, look, I'm sure you're glad Cora's there.
Yes. I don't know how long she can stay, though. Oh, by the way, Em, I'll be consulting with a Dr. Szabo as soon as Jason gets back.
Any special reason, Marsh?
Well, just to do the best I can for you.
Well, I know that, but who is Szabo?
A neurosurgeon.
Oh, I see.
Well, since all the tests are negative, after he goes over them, he'll probably want to see you, and I think we'll do some new x-rays for him.
There isn't anything else you can tell me?
No, Emily. There isn't.
Do we have a pact, Marsh?
Whatever we find out, if we find anything, you'll know it.
No matter what, Marsh.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Ah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
You just missed Betsy.
No, I didn't, Cora. I passed them on the way. She says she's having dinner at the Carters.
That Susie Carter certainly is a nice girl.
Yes, she is. Well, where's Ginger?
She's having her hair fixed.
Hey, what smells so good?
Vegetable soup and cornbread.
Oh.
Not exactly fancy, but good.
Betsy doesn't know what she's missing.
I'm a little worried about Betsy.
Oh, I am too, Cora, but I don't know what to do.
She's a good girl, but, well, she reminds me of Ginger when she was her age.
She does?
Nothing strange about that. Girls often take after their mothers.
Oh, yes, I know. But, Cora, what worries you about Betsy?
Well, it's almost as though she goes out of her way to make trouble, as if she wants to rile her mother up.
Well, you know, they say 16's a tough age, and you say Ginger was like that.
Well, and in some ways she still is, only now she wants to rile you up.
Sometimes I think I rile too easy, Cora.
When things get going back and forth between you two, well, it's something.
I'll say this. Life with your sister has not been dull.
If it was just the two of you and no blood was spilled, I'd say go ahead. But I think Betsy's upset by it.
Oh, of course she is.
Maybe, if she'd like it, she could visit me for a while. Burtonsville can be a lot of fun.
Oh, Cora, I don't know. She's in school here, you know, and all her friends.
I know. But if she got so upset she wanted to leave you...
You mean run away?
Well, maybe that.
Cora, has she said anything?
No, she hasn't, Marsh. But I think I know the signs. Ginger had them just before she ran away from Burtonsville.
What do you mean?
First of all, she started saving money. She never had before. Your Betsy has stopped spending her allowance.
Oh. I'm glad you told me, Cora.
Well, it doesn't mean she will. But if she wants to, she can.
Okay, that's our salad now.
Oh.
Charlie's so soft, isn't he?
Except around my pantyhose.
Well, Jennifer did say if they'd been in the drawer.
She's not the neatest kid in the world herself.
Ooh, listen to him purr. He's so happy.
Oh, he likes you, Betsy.
He does, doesn't he?
Why don't you get one for Mrs. Bailey? She's got one left.
Mom wouldn't let me. Well, I'm sure Jennifer will let you have petting privileges.
Where is Jennifer?
She and Angela went to an early movie.
Did you hear from Daddy today?
Not yet, honey. He'll probably call tonight. Why don't you and Betsy set the table and I'll pour the tomato juice? I like eating in the kitchen. It seems more like a family.
I like it because it's nearer to the dishwasher.
Can we go out after?
Oh, I don't really want to, Bets. Dad might call, and anyway, I don't want to leave Mom alone.
Do you want to go out, dear?
Oh, not tonight, Mom. Maybe Betsy and I can get some homework done.
Oh, maybe that's your phone.
I'll get it. Hello? We thought it was you, Daddy. Oh, I'm fine. How about you? We miss you. Is it getting better? All right, here's Mom now.
Hello, darling? Yes, I'm just fine. Jennifer and Angela are at the movies, and Betsy's here for dinner.
Do you have to do your homework tonight?
No.
Well, how are the Anthony's?
Get Denny sometime, but I don't want to leave Mom now.
Jason.
She's okay, isn't she?
Oh,
when
yeah.
Home?
Look, if you want to go, you can, Betsy.
Yes, darling. We all miss you, but, well, we're awfully proud of you. Yes, darling. Hurry home. Goodbye. Well, all ready for dinner, girls?
What do you want to do?
I don't have to go. I'll stay. Anyway, Charlie's asleep in my lap, and I can't disturb him now.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color, and it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now, except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.